There are people who live here, and we'll talk about them a little bit more tomorrow. I spent a little time in my life living with a family. This one, there was a man. I remember, I'll show you just a few pictures. I'm going to make sure I honor my time here. I remember getting there the first day. When I got there, I'll tell you the whole story. We had to live with a family for 6 weeks as part of our class assignment. Now, they said you could live with an Orthodox Jew, you could live with a Palestinian family, or you could live with a Bedouin. Well, I didn't know Bedouin from Schmedouin, so the guy in front of me signed up for Bedouin, so I signed up for Bedouin. It looked like a cool thing to do. And so I took a public bus, got out a ways, and just started hiking. I mean, I was such a total nudnik. And I showed up. I couldn't speak a word of Arabic. Anyway, I got there. The sides of the tent were down, you know, hanging down. And I remember thinking, that's where they keep their stuff. Then it got hot, and they put the sides up. That is their stuff. That's all these people have. It just absolutely blew my mind. But they welcomed me like I was a long-lost son. It was amazing to me. They just took me in. And I spent some time with them. The man had four wives, which was interesting for me from the biblical background. Not something I ever hoped to emulate, but interesting people, but their main occupation was their flock. So let me take you to that one, just in the interest of our time running out here. I want to be able to get to this. So I spent some time with the shepherds. Now, the first thing that blew my mind was that in this culture, the sheep follow. I've never seen a Middle Easterner who's in the biblical culture drive sheep. Around that corner a ways, I'll tell you the story. I went out with a shepherd. I got permission from the girls, from the father. The shepherds are always girls. Remember that next Christmas when you put together your Christmas program. Almost always the shepherds are girls in that culture. And so he was very hesitant because I'm a Westerner. I'm not a relative. I'm a male. This is a girl who's 15 years old. So he sent his son along to keep an eye on me. But I remember that first night, she had taken this flock of sheep. We were probably 5-10 miles away. This is on the road that the Romans had to bring salt. The Romans mined salt at the Dead Sea. Salt was extremely valuable. Those Latin students among us know that the word salary, what you earn, comes from the Latin word for salt, which is how the soldiers were paid because it was worth more than gold. So the soldiers would bring salt. Well, they had built a little fort. So she brought that flock of sheep and goats, and they brought them into that little fort, she and her two siblings, brother and sister, and they put them into that Roman fort. And then she laid in the gate to keep them in. And the whole thing, Jesus said, I am the door, the sheep come through me, immediately came to life. So she's laying there. And there was another shepherd came and put their flock in as well. So I laid across the wadi, across the canyon where I am here, thinking to myself, wonder how she's going to sort that all out in the morning. Well, morning came. She took the branches that she had laid there. She got up, picked up her stuff. I heard her go, and I heard her walk off in the dark. She's probably over here. And then she turned around, and she called in Arabic, which blew my mind because all the sheep knew Arabic. I mean, that's a hard language. But she turned around, and she called, and look what happened. The sheep of the other shepherd stayed there. Look at it. And those sheep followed like they were on a string. I couldn't believe it. And I'm sitting there racing in my mind. It was at a time I didn't have my Bible available right away. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. My sheep follow me. And it dawned on me, I don't know if I'm one of Jesus' sheep. Because I'm always thinking Jesus is going to chase me into my Christian life. Instead of realizing he's out there saying, come on, it's over here, and now it's up to me. But the other thing, the thing that blew my mind, and I remember that morning, that was a crisis for me. Look at the goats. Look at them. The goats always know it better. It's amazing to watch. Those sheep, they'll fight. Look at them. I've seen sheep, because I got a picture of them here. Come here. I've seen sheep push each other off the edge of a hill like that because they're not satisfied being in two rows. They all want to be on the same line. And the goats, it's like, hey, I'm cool. I know where we're going. I know a better way. And I sat there watching, thinking to myself, I'm a goat. I always know a better way to do what God wants me to do than the way He wants me to do it. And then I remembered that at the end of the life, God says, and I'm going to assemble them, and I'm going to put the sheep on my right and the goats on my left, and the sheep I'm going to say, come on into my barn, and the goats I'm going to say, you go to hell. It was stunning to me. And then I went out and followed her. She was gone for a week. 150 sheep, I'll never forget it. She was like 14, 15 years old. And those sheep had to have water at least twice a day. Goats could get by on one. I didn't know where the water was. It was incredible that this little girl did. So I followed them at a distance. Always being led. You can notice they're always pointing in the same direction. Because the shepherd's out in front of them. So what are you thinking? Nobody's had my reaction? Okay. Is there anything that surprises you about the whole thing? I'm a farm kid. I grew up on the farm. What do these sheep eat? It was driving me nuts. I have never seen sheep where grass grows. This is where the shepherds are. It blew my mind. For days, I found myself thinking, what do those sheep eat? Are they rock-eating sheep? Seriously, tell me the Humane Society would come and take you away if you had a flock of sheep in a place like this. So I finally asked, got somebody I could speak the language, and I said, what do those sheep eat? And they laughed at me. They always laughed at me. I had a master's degree and I didn't know what sheep ate. But they explained, at night, at the end of the day, the wind comes from the west, always. It's a strong wind as the sun sets. The Mediterranean's about 20 miles away from here. That wind is very moist. Water condenses on these warm rocks that are exposed to the wind, like water on your windshield if the inside of your car is warm when you turn it off at night. And that little bit of moisture produces this. And here, and here, and here. There's another one somewhere. Here. And so the shepherd looks for hillsides that have been exposed to the wind. And the sheep go from one mouthful to one mouthful to one mouthful. So I'm writing furiously. I never heard this before. So I said to my Israeli friend, well, what do you call this? And he said, the Lord leads me into green pastures. Now, I don't know if you're going to believe this, and I maybe shouldn't end with this because I may have a smaller audience tomorrow, but I'm telling you the truth. This is Psalm 23. This is what's called the green pastures of the shepherd. And the only thing that's green is that. And then he got animated. He said, yeah, you Western Christians, you think when you follow God, He plunks you down in belly-deep alfalfa where you have everything you need for the rest of your life. He said, do you have what it takes to handle what's going to happen to you in 15 minutes? This was the Middle East, so I started thinking he knew something I didn't know. And then I realized my wife was back in the States. I had three kids back in the States. Hey, let me ask you. You have what it takes to handle what's going to happen to you on the way home tonight? Really? I just finished a book. It's called 102 Minutes. It's a terrible read. I don't know if I would recommend it to anybody. It's two reporters from the New York Times who wrote the story of the World Trade Centers through the voicemail messages of the people who didn't make it. You tell me that at 16 minutes to 9, there were people that in 5 minutes 300 of them were going to jump out of a 104th floor window, that they had what it took to face that. People, you don't have what it takes. Why isn't that sheep, that goat, worried? Because he's got what he needs right now. And 15 minutes from now, he's got a shepherd. The only thing you have is what you need right now. I don't care what you've got in the bank, what your pension plan looks like, how many vacation homes you've got. You couldn't handle right now certain things that could. Am I right? Worry, said Akiba, is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. You don't get tomorrow's pasture till tomorrow. So Psalm 23 is not, when I follow God, he plunks me down and everything I need for the rest of my life is within my reach. Psalm 23 is, every minute of every day, there's a green pasture. If I follow the shepherd. And honestly, that's un-American. We're all about being totally prepared for the future. The desert forces you to face the fact, I don't have anything beyond what I need right now. And I've learned to like that. I like going to the desert. A friend and I hiked across that desert about 160 miles three summers ago. Had a Bedouin guide, but we didn't take any cell phones. Because I wanted to be in a situation where if that Bedouin guide had a heart attack, we were probably going to die. Because I didn't know how to get there. I wanted to have that feeling of knowing my life depended totally on the grace of God. And I wanted to have that feeling because really that's what's true all the time. Last, I saw this often. The shepherd's lead. I've showed you pictures of that. Let me just refresh. The classic one for me was this first time, but every time. The sheep are always following. Here they're grazing, but they're all moving in one direction. Always moving, always following. And the shepherd's often some distance ahead. Now, what the Bedouin told me, showed me, was you have to be really careful when you lead sheep. Goats can figure out a way. But when you lead sheep, if I'm over here and the sheep are over there and between us is the Green River Canyon, or whatever you call the thing, the sheep will go right into the canyon to get to me when I call them. A sheep has to have a straight path. A goat will go around. Make all my paths straight, says the proverb. And the word straight in Hebrew is very closely related to the word righteous. He leads me in righteous, straight paths. So the shepherd, if the sheep are here, the shepherd will call them here first, then here, then here to get them around that canyon. So you'll watch that shepherd out in the distance, checking to make sure when she calls that the sheep can go directly to the voice. The only time I ever saw that change was as it got dark. The darker it got, the more nervous the shepherds got, until eventually, this was one afternoon, and the sheep were way up on that hillside, and it was getting dark, and she was really nervous about that. And so eventually, you can see where that flock is, way at the edge of that cliff. And this 15-year-old girl, eventually she got those sheep down or over to the side into a flat place. And when it gets dark, the shepherd will walk in the middle of the sheep instead of in front. And she'll talk, just nonstop, talk, 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 talk. And those sheep will kind of cluster around her and almost move as a body. And it struck me, the Lord leads me into green pasture. The Lord leads me beside still water. The Lord leads me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of, see, in the Hebrew says, the darkest shadow. Nighttime. Death. But the darkest shadow. I will not be afraid, for you are with me.
It struck me how that came out of the culture as well, in the sense that all the time she leads until it's dark, and then she's with. So, for me, the desert metaphor is always, how much do I depend totally on God? And that's why I think God calls the desert my land. Pray with me. Father, I've tried to look into the text tonight through an eastern window. My time went fast. I pray that your word would have spoken. And if there are people here tonight who are wrestling in desert, who are overly heated, who are dry, who are hurting, who've stumbled over those stones, I pray that there would be green pastures and honey in the rock and shade and living water, that you would lift us out of the mud and put us on a rock. And I pray somehow that those pictures would reaffirm to us the joy of knowing what it means to be in the arms of God. Thanks. And if your will is such, bring us back tomorrow when we'll look at some entirely different things. And we bless you and praise you for being the God of all times and all places, but the God who has spoken that we may know you and how to follow you. In our Messiah's name, amen. Thank you. God bless you. I hope to see you in the morning. Thank you.